All right, let's dive in. Today we're going to be exploring Life Insights 2020-04 April and some excerpts you sent from the Life Insights book.
Yeah.
So think of this as like, you know, extracting those golden nuggets of wisdom and figuring out how to apply them to your life, whether you're, you know, looking to grow personally, professionally, and, you know, you're just curious about the world. One of the things that really struck me from these sources was this whole idea about the power of belief.
Yes.
And specifically how believing in somebody can help them reach their potential. And there's that amazing story about Bob Hoover, the test pilot, and the mechanic who made this near fatal mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's a powerful story.
So for those who don't know, this mechanic accidentally put jet fuel into Hoover's plane instead of gasoline.
Right.
Which could have been disastrous, obviously.
Yeah, big mistake.
But they landed safely, and, you know, you'd think Hoover would be furious.
Understandable.
But instead of yelling at the mechanic or punishing him, he put him right back to work on the plane the next day.
That's incredible.
It's a powerful example of trust and also recognizing, like, we all make mistakes.
Absolutely. It's about, like you said, trust, but also about creating an environment for growth.
Right. Because I bet that mechanic never made that mistake again.
Probably not, no.
And it made me think about that quote from Life Insights 2020-04 April. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody.
Yeah. A simple but profound idea.
It is. It's really about recognizing the potential in others and encouraging them to step into that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I have to say, thinking about human nature and how these sources kind of delve into it.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's always that easy to believe in others, especially when, you know, we've got this negativity bias that's like wired into our brains.
Right, right.
It's like we're almost programmed to focus on the negative, to see the potential threats.
You know, from an evolutionary standpoint, it kind of makes sense. Yes. Well, imagine back in the day, you know, our ancestors on the savannah.
Okay, yeah.
They had to constantly be on the lookout for danger.
Like saber-toothed tigers and stuff?
Exactly. Saber-toothed tigers, rival tribes, you name it. That negativity bias kept them alive.
So it's like a survival mechanism.
Exactly.
But how does that translate to today's world? We're not exactly facing saber-toothed tigers on our way to work.
Right, but that wiring is still there.
Yeah.
And it can manifest in different ways.
Like what?
Like overthinking, fixating on setbacks, getting stuck in negative thought loops.
Oh, I'm definitely guilty of that.
I think we all are, to some extent.
So are we doomed to be controlled by this negativity bias?
Not at all. The first step is awareness.
Okay.
Knowing it exists is half the battle.
Makes sense. So once we're aware of it, then what?
Then we can start developing strategies to counteract it.
Like what kind of strategies? Give me some examples.
Well, both sources suggest things like practicing gratitude, reframing negative thoughts, and challenging our assumptions.
Challenging our assumptions. What do you mean by that?
It's about questioning those automatic negative thoughts that pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not good enough. Or this is never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and ask yourself, is this really true? What evidence do I have to support this thought?
That's a great point. We often let those negative thoughts run wild without even questioning them.
Exactly. And that's where mindfulness comes in.
Mindfulness. Okay. I've heard a lot about that.
It's about becoming more aware of our thoughts and feelings in the present moment without judgment. And that can help us break free from those automatic negative patterns.
So it's like a way to pause, observe our thoughts, and then choose how we want to respond.
Exactly. And that's a powerful skill to have, especially when it comes to making decisions.
Yeah, decisions. That's a whole other can of worms.
It is. And one that both sources delve into quite deeply.
Yeah, I noticed that. There are some interesting frameworks for decision making in there.
Absolutely. And we'll explore those in detail a bit later on.
Sounds good. So it seems like what we've touched on so far is that, you know, we have this negativity bias that's kind of part of our wiring, but we can become aware of it, challenge those negative thoughts, and use tools like mindfulness to make more intentional choices.
Exactly. It's all about taking control of our minds and using them to our advantage.
Love it. Okay, so next up, we're going to dive into some of those decision-making frameworks from the sources.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so decision-making frameworks. I'm ready to have my mind blown.
Well, get ready, because both these sources have some seriously insightful stuff about how we make decisions.
Yeah, and it's not always pretty, right? Like, sometimes I feel like I make decisions based on emotion or gut feeling.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a place for that. Intuition can be valuable.
But sometimes I overthink things, you know?
Yeah, analysis paralysis. We've all been there.
Exactly. So how can we get better at making decisions, especially those tough ones?
Well, one of the frameworks that stood out to me was the one that categorizes decisions based on impact and uncertainty.
Oh, right. The one with the four quadrants.
That's the one. It's basically like a grid, right?
Okay, yeah. I remember seeing that in one of the sources.
One axis is the magnitude of the impact. Like, how much will this decision affect my life?
Right. From small stuff to, like, life-changing decisions.
Exactly. And the other axis is the level of uncertainty. Like, am I pretty sure what will happen, or is it a total unknown?
Got it. So you've got, like, high impact, low impact, high uncertainty, low uncertainty, all mixed up.
Right. And the key takeaway is this. We tend to waste way too much time on decisions that are high in uncertainty but low in impact.
Oh, tell me about it. I can spend hours agonizing over what to have for dinner.
Exactly. Does it really matter that much in the grand scheme of things?
Not really.
But those big life-changing decisions, even with lots of unknowns, those are the ones we should be focusing on.
But how do you deal with those high-stakes decisions? Like, it feels risky to just jump in without, you know, analyzing everything.
There's another helpful framework for that. It's the one that looks at whether a decision is reversible or irreversible.
Oh, right. And it encourages you to focus on those decisions that are irreversible and consequential.
Precisely. One of the sources even phrases it as, think if something will actually kill you.
Yeah, that's a pretty intense way to put it.
It is, but it helps cut through the noise and focus on what really matters. It forces you to ask yourself, what's the real risk here?
Okay, I'm starting to see how these frameworks can help clarify things.
And don't forget about expected value.
Oh, right. Expected value. Remind me about that one again.
It's a little technical, but basically you're weighing the potential gains and losses of a decision against the probability of each outcome.
Okay, so like, if there's a high chance of a positive outcome, even if there's some risk, it might be worth taking the gamble.
Exactly. It's about making calculated risks and being willing to face some setbacks along the way.
Okay, that makes sense.
The sources suggest focusing on making positive expected value bets over time, even if you encounter some bumps in the road.
So it's kind of like playing the long game.
Absolutely. And this all ties into goal setting as well.
Oh, yeah. Goals. That's something I've always struggled with.
Well, one of the key ideas from the sources is to shift from traditional goal setting to a more systems-based approach.
Okay, break that down for me. What's the difference?
A goal is a specific outcome you want to achieve.
Right.
Right, like get a promotion, write a book, run a marathon.
Yeah, those are all goals I have.
But a system is a set of repeatable actions that, if you do them consistently, will lead to the outcomes you want.
So it's less about the destination and more about the journey.
Precisely. It's about creating habits and routines that make success almost inevitable.
That makes so much more sense. I think I get caught up in the end goal and forget about the steps it takes to get there.
It happens to the best of us. And it reminds me of that quote from Life Insights 2020 through 04 April. Do the right things, not just do things right.
Oh, yeah. That one really resonated with me.
It's about focusing on the actions that will have the biggest impact, even if they're not always the easiest or most efficient.
So, like, sometimes it's better to work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And that reminds me of another powerful question from one of the sources. What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary?
Whoa, that's deep. So it's about finding that one key leverage point.
Exactly. The one thing that will unlock the most progress toward your goals.
That makes me think about all the time I waste on things that don't really move the needle.
It's so easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? And that's where the hidden motive exercise from one of the sources can be so helpful.
Oh, right. Tell me about that one again. I'm all about practical exercises.
It's pretty simple. You list the benefits you think you'll get from achieving a specific goal.
Okay.
Then you brainstorm ways to get those same benefits without actually achieving the original goal.
Interesting. So it's like maybe you don't actually need that specific goal to be happy or successful.
Exactly. It helps you get to the root of your motivation and make sure your actions are aligned with your true values.
I love that. So we've got decision-making frameworks, systems thinking, hidden motives. All these are great for understanding ourselves better.
Absolutely. But understanding is only valuable when it's paired with action.
Right, right. Like Life Insights 2020-04 April has that awesome Latin phrase, fac si facis.
Oh, yes. Love that one. Do it if you're going to do it.
It's like stop overthinking and just take action.
Exactly. And one practical tip that stood out to me was the 20-hour rule.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Tell me more.
The idea is that you can reach a pretty decent level of competence in almost any skill with just 20 hours of focused practice.
Really? Just 20 hours. That makes it seem a lot less daunting.
It does, right?
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we often overestimate the time and effort required to learn something new.
So it's about taking that first step, even if it's small.
Exactly. And both sources also emphasize the importance of creating an environment that supports your goals.
Like setting yourself up for success.
Precisely. It's about removing temptations, making good habits easy, and bad habits difficult.
Oh, so like if you're trying to eat healthy, don't keep junk food in the house.
Exactly. Make it easy to make the choices you want to make.
This is all great stuff, but it makes me wonder, what's the point of achieving all these goals if we're not happy?
Ah, you've hit on a really important point. And that's something that both sources actually delve into as well. The idea that true happiness might not come from achieving goals, but from the process of striving towards them.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about that. You know, it's amazing how both sources talk about all these different things, but it all kind of comes back to this idea of us, like, having the power to change.
Yeah, right. Like, we have more control than we think.
Exactly. It's not all predetermined, you know.
Definitely not. Life Insights, 2020-04, April. Puts it really well. It says, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better.
Oh, yeah. It's like, stop wishing for things to be different, and instead, focus on becoming better equipped to handle them.
Exactly. And one way to do that is by breaking down those big, scary goals into smaller steps.
Oh, right. Start with something so small you can't say no.
Exactly. Make it easy to get started and build momentum from there.
It's like once you get that ball rolling, it's easier to keep it going.
Exactly. And those small wins lead to bigger wins, and eventually you've created these powerful habits.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of habits, the Life Insights book makes a pretty bold statement about them.
What's that?
It says, our habits ultimately shape our destiny.
Hmm. That's powerful and true when you think about it.
It is. It makes you realize how important it is to choose those habits carefully.
Absolutely. Because those small everyday choices, they really do add up over time.
So I guess the takeaway here is that we really do have the power to shape our own lives.
We do. It's about making conscious choices, taking action, and never stop learning and growing.
This has been such an incredible deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. And I think the most important message from all this is that a fulfilling life isn't about reaching some finish line.
Yeah.
It's about showing up every day, making those choices, and enjoying the journey.
I love that. So to our listener, we hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought and maybe even inspired you to take some action.
And remember, the journey to a fulfilling life is an ongoing one, and we're all in this together.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.